Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and you're listening to the Old Dogs REI Network with your host and top dog, Bill Manicero. You must be prepared to ignite.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Mino Studio is a pre- and post-production facility for all of your audio needs. Mino Studio's founder is an accredited audio engineer with top 40 and indie album credits. With over 30 years of music industry experience, Mino Studio can take your podcast from idea to reality. Contact Mino Studio at minostudio777@gmail.com for more information. That's Mino Studio spelled M-E-N-O, minostudio777@gmail.com.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manicero, and this is a show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays. And if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes, type in Old Dog, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, today's show, we've got a great show ahead of you here. We're here with Mike Flynn, and he's the founder and president of L5 Investments. L5 provides its partners with short-term cash flow returns and long-term capital appreciation via the ownership, repositioning, and management of apartment communities in U.S. emerging markets of growth and stability. L5 has closed on over 160 million of apartment deals since 2009. They will have closed on 858 units in 2016. Their focus is on well-located, yield-driven assets with both physical and operational repositioning value plays. Throughout his career, Mike has been involved in the ownership, development, and entitlement of over 200-plus nationwide commercial and residential properties, including multifamily, resort, hospitality, office, retail, and large master-planned residential communities. He has worked internationally and domestically for Lendlease, British Petroleum, and Toll Brothers. His niche has always been on due diligence, market analysis, and entitlements on value-add opportunities with attractive investor returns. Mike is located in Northern California with a family of five and has lived all over the country. He has a civil engineering degree from Villanova University and an MBA from USC's Marshall School of Business. Well, welcome, Mike. How are you doing today?
Good, Bill. Good, Bill. Happy to be here. Thanks for your time.
We're really glad to have you. Thank you for hanging out with us.
No problem. Happy to be here.
Well, we're just a bunch of old dogs here trying to get some good information on real estate investing and what's involved in it and how folks can get involved themselves, whether they launch their own investing business or whether they're investing in other people's projects. And thought maybe you could just kind of give us your background. I know you haven't always been in real estate investing, and maybe you just kind of share how you got into it.
Yeah, sure, Bill. I've always been very close to it. I started in the real estate development business as an engineer, and I was entitling projects nationwide for a number of large commercial Fortune 500 companies such as McDonald's and the oil companies and Walmarts and Walgreens and Home Depots and you name it. And then somewhere along the way, kind of broke out to do it on my own. Had developed the right relationships to do that. Had developed a nice investor database to be able to do that. So I was doing some development, land development, on my own with some partners, some investment bankers in Los Angeles and New York. And then on the side, I was doing some smaller personal investing in single family homes and, in apartments. So that's really how I got started. And, you know, eventually through some learning experiences and kind of getting shaken up a bit in the Great Recession here, we've landed in the stability of the apartment investing world and have carved out a nice niche doing that over the last 7 to 8 years here.
Oh, well, that's really exciting. That's definitely, as I read over your bio, just what you've done and accomplished in a relatively short period of time is pretty amazing. Obviously, you went in, you had an engineering degree, could have just focused on engineering and so forth. But what was the point in your journey that you just had that light bulb moment that, wow, real estate investing is definitely where I need to put my my attention?
Well, I think personally, I was, whether you're, there's all kind of services in the real estate world that help other people make money, right? But in the end, I wanted to be the guy, making money for myself and our team. We wanted to be at the top of the food chain. And we're always searching for, good, prudent, value add investments that would, make sense for, me personally and my, my investors. So I think that was really it, whether you're, started doing engineering, I started doing construction management in New York City for Bovis Lendlease. We were doing all the construction management and real estate development worldwide for British Petroleum. And all along in the back of my mind was, hey, I think I can do this on my own. And eventually I went back to get my MBA at the University of Southern California to learn a little bit about more of the finance side, to kind of complement my engineering project management skill set, and developed a number of mentors there and through the years who said, hey, Mike, you've got the skill set, you've got the experience, it's time to jump and go try it on your own.
Now, there was a point you said you started doing some single family. Obviously, you moved into apartments there. What sort of prompted that decision?
I had a great corporate job managing real estate development for ARCO, actually. I was managing all the real estate development for ARCO on the West Coast from Seattle down to San Diego. And with my personal dollars, I started to invest in different areas of the country, some single family homes and some apartments. I was really looking to create enough cash flow personally so I could go out on my own and kind of explore and begin my entrepreneurship or my entrepreneurial goals. And that's what helped enable me to do that.
Do you remember sort of the first apartment building that you actually purchased?
Yeah, I started buying little fourplexes and duplexes and tenplexes. And the first couple I bought were in Syracuse, New York, upstate New York. I was buying for cash flow alone. I learned a lot from those investments. I learned that I probably would not do that again. But coming through the recession, it was interesting. My little properties that performed the best were the ones that were more focused on cash flow, which were the smaller apartments.
Interesting.
And, you know, obviously the beauty of the recession was it took everybody back to the basics of investing in cash flow and investing in stability, whether it was in real estate or in businesses, right? So, you know, looking back at my portfolio, I said, hey, let's focus on what works here, you know, in good times and in bad. And that really has been the apartments. So we got, you know, we kind of transitioned out, Bill, out of the development business, where we certainly took a little bit of a beating there, like everybody did coming out of the recessions, and, took everybody back to the basics of, I don't want to say it's simple, but prudent investing. We started investing in larger apartment complexes in areas of stable growth, lower unemployment, and in areas of the country that were focused on job growth and job announcements. So in a lot of ways, when I look back at my background, you know, investing in the development world can be, you know, what I call a home run investment, right? A lot of things, a lot of variables need to go right, from buying it at the right time and buying it at the right cycle, getting it approved through the municipal levels, planning commissions, city council, coastal commission. Then you have to design it, then you have to build it, then you have to get it leased up. And there's a lot of time that can go by during that period. Sometimes it's 3 years, sometimes it can be 10 years. Mm. And obviously, as an investor on a project like that, you don't make any money along the way. And that's why we ended up going back to really investing in larger apartments. You know, we're buying 50 to 400 units. We're not buying. We're not going for the home run hits anymore. We're batting what I like to say smart singles and doubles, and with good due diligence and investing in the right economic market by studying, you know, macro and microeconomics in a certain area of the country or in a specific city. We're able to create really attractive, you know, cash flow focused investments for us and for our investors as well.
Well, you know, as everybody that moves into a new area and, you know, launches into any kind of venture, you're going to have your times where things may not go the way you wanted them to go. And I thought maybe you could bring up to us maybe one of your sort of key mistakes that you really learned from, maybe that happened early on.
Yeah, for me, it was a big one, and I really just touched on it. It was investing in a business, or really, let's call it what it is. I was investing in real estate development, and you know, the recession blew that up. Whether you had something that was newly built or you had just bought land, there wasn't much to hang on there then. And that was, you know, the biggest mistake. I also look at it as the best thing that ever happened to me. I mean, there's no doubt I clearly had to start from scratch with my business and my personal finances coming out of the recession. So I look at it as my biggest mistake, but also my best mistake, because it's what I've learned coming out of that. I call it coming out of that situation, coming out of that pain, that has really helped us build our business now, which is based off of, you know, as I mentioned, you know, stabilized cash flowing apartment complexes.
Now, I guess conversely, you know, it looks like you're up 800 plus units currently. What would you say in that process? What you would say is their ideal perfect success? Well, nothing's perfect, but your biggest success in the various apartments that you've purchased?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't get asked that often. Every deal is so uniquely different from the next, but we have about, I guess we have close to 2,000 units now. You know, the greatest, the best deals were the deals we bought first. right? You make money when you buy. You know, coming out of the recession, 2009, there weren't a lot of people buying 100-plus apartment complexes nationwide. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to jump into the apartment business early. I put my contrarian investor hat on early. You know, as Warren Buffett says, but, you know, buy when there's blood in the streets. And that was a good time to be buying apartments. We bought two complexes in 09 that in Odessa, Texas, and we were able to provide investors a return, an average return between the two deals of around 35%. You know, those were certainly our home run deals.
That's great.
You know, we really specialize in finding, you know, what I think to be unique deals, off-market deals. We love to buy properties from mom and pop owners who might be a little bit less sophisticated, or mom and pop, or properties that are managed by mom and pop management companies, where we can really go buy right and go in and add immediate value. So we've had a number of those opportunities, one of which I can think of, we bought from a mailing campaign. We sent a seller a letter, he responded, and at closing it was appraised for $2 million over what we bought it for immediately. On that property, investors have been averaging, you know, I'd say 12 to 15% on cash returns. And that's probably our best performer at the moment now, Bill.
Now, are you still doing direct mail? Is that a regular part of your marketing efforts?
It is. I don't have a lot of, it's a very low return ratio on it. We have a war board in my office here in front of me that talks about our deal flow, and that's brokers, relationships, property managers, and a mailing campaign. So yes, we do still have an active mailing campaign. We've done one deal off of it, which is the deal I mentioned. But again, if you do one deal over 5 years and it's a home run deal for you and your investors, then it's worth all the time and effort you put into it.
Oh, I bet. What out of your various avenues, you mentioned, you know, direct mail brokers, relationships, property managers, what would you say is your top lead provider, deal provider?
I'd say definitely the brokerage community. Yeah, that's the group that has the most opportunities out there. So we've probably done 50% deals with brokers. Not every, you know, because it's a broker listed deal, it doesn't mean, we're competing against the world. We've developed a really nice relationship in the industry as closers and not retraders, and being a group that's going to do what we said we're going to do. So it's not uncommon that a broker will bring us a deal directly and kind of place us with a seller without having to, you know, compete with 100 other groups. And then the other major source of deal flow is just relationships. People we meet, other partners who are, you know, experienced people or groups that have a unique deal that might need some help getting it closed. We've been doing a lot of those deals lately. I always like to say in the end, we're looking to do good deals with good people. So, we're open to a number of different avenues for deal flow.
What markets are you in?
Right now, we're kind of all over the place. You know, as I said, we love primary markets, larger markets, stronger population. We're really looking for markets that have a stable history of, you know, economic growth, job growth, population growth, decreasing unemployment. As a developer, gosh, I've probably done 200 plus projects and 200 different, you know, municipalities or cities nationwide. So we're very comfortable going to different areas of the country. We're certainly going to study them and meet with economic development and understand, again, where the jobs are, where they aren't, what side of town we want to be on, what side we don't. So we're flexible with that. You know, as an example, this year alone, we've closed on a deal in the San Francisco East Bay area. We've closed on a deal in Richmond, Virginia, which is, I used to live there at some point in time. We closed on a deal. We're closing on a deal in Kansas City next week. Last week, we closed on a deal in Seattle. The week before that, we closed on a deal in Reno.
Wow. Those are all really good, really good markets. You don't have sort of your top three, top five markets that, oh, you know, this is really where we want to make a full court press at this point because of market conditions and so forth?
Yeah, Seattle. We love Seattle. We've had great success with two deals over the last year. As an example, where we're able to raise rents from, you know, 800 to 1400 or 1000 to 1500. I mean, they've experienced significant rent growth there due to what's happening with Amazon and a number of other major employers in that market. We also, conversely, we love them, you know, some of the stability that the Midwest brings. We're buying in Kansas City. Google Fiber just opened up there. They're only in two markets nationwide, Kansas City and Austin, Texas. We love the Southwest, a lot of Fortune 500 growth there. So we're still actively looking for deals there that in markets that are, you know, regional healthcare providers, retail providers, and so forth, Bill.
Oh, that's great. No, thanks for sharing. That's a, yeah, I think that the fact that you guys do your homework before you go into a market is got to be key to your success.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the key. Whenever we fly into a new market, as I touched on the first meeting we have before we waste time meeting with anyone or even looking at a property, is sitting down with the Economic Development Council, whether it's at the city or the county level, to understand, you know, what's the story from a big picture standpoint before we even want to decide whether we want to invest in that specific city.
Yeah, if just taking a city for example, what are the where are you doing your research? I mean, obviously you're looking at jobs, right? You're looking at population growth. What are your key factors that really you focus in on before anything else?
I mean, big picture, it's kind of the story. There's a lot of stats that can overwhelm people and point people in one direction or the other. But we want to know what the story is. I think real estate investing has to be based off of facts and figures. But in the end, it's a gut feeling. You know, we just bought in Reno because Tesla is building their worldwide battery facility there. SuperNap is building the world's largest memory center there. You know, there's a lot of opportunity, growth, and jobs that can be generated from that. You know, facts and figures. We engage an economist and a demographer every year to help make sure we're pinpoint in going after the right markets. As I said before, we're looking at things such as population growth, job growth, certainly rent growth, home values, and really trying to get down to the core of what's going on with this specific market, and is it short term versus long term? You know, we're long term investors. I think that protects all of us from getting in trouble. Who knows when that next down cycle will hit us, and when it does, we want to be prepared to ride through it and hold through that trouble cycle, because we're based off of cash flow.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of our listeners are folks that are really interested in getting involved in real estate investing, but, you know, they might be a little apprehensive. What advice could you give them in terms of how would you get started? Now, granted, you're already well along your way. You've got a company that's growing, and you're in a lot of markets and in a lot of different types of real estate assets. But for some kind of advice would you give to somebody 50 plus that's looking to get involved in real estate investing?
That's a great question, Bill. Yeah, I mean, I think regardless of your age, you want to invest in something that you understand, that you feel comfortable with, and that you believe in. And to touch on what I said just a little bit ago, I think you need to believe in it short term and you need to believe in it long term. You know, the people that lost the most money coming out of the recession were the people that thought they were going to get their money back in 3 years, or they were going to make an amazing return in 1 year. Yeah, that's a risky endeavor. If you invest for the long term, if you invest in a property that's well located, or an industry you believe in, you certainly protect yourself, especially when you're investing with retirement dollars, right? So I always recommend, you know, start investing small. Obviously, diversify. I hear myself talk through the years, and I find that I talk more like a financial wealth planner than I do a real estate investor to our own investors. Because we don't really sell, hey, this is the best deal since sliced bread, or hey, you need to invest in Reno, but don't invest in Kansas City. You know, we believe in diversifying across, you know, multiple properties, or diversifying into a variety of asset-based investments versus, you know, market-based investments, which, you know, has shown to be more volatile than most lately.
Right. Well, looking at your current business, you know, what are you really excited about? Where, you know, where you're going, maybe your projections for the future, you know, how large you're going to make your company. You know, I mean, what are some of the visions that you have, and the things that really, really get you pumped up about your own company?
Well, we love making people money. In the end, that's what it comes down to. We're not a fund. You know, we don't have to buy any deal in any given year. We really enjoy staying true to our theory of being, you know, picky, patient, and prudent on the opportunities that we find. And, you know, if we find our investors one good deal a year, or five good deals a year, or no deals because we didn't find anything we thought was a fit, you know, we're completely fine with that. You know, I love getting to know our investors and helping them, you know, what I call leaving a legacy. I've got three little girls at home. That's, you know, my goal in life. And, you know, many of us, including my parents who are retired, they're looking to leave a legacy for their family. So I back that into our business model and the types of investments, you know, that we are doing. And I think it backs in the what I call long-term wealth. You know, short-term deals can be very cyclical and volatile. Long-term wealth creates better opportunity, I think less risk. And as a result, you know, what we've done is create what I believe to be a sustainable real estate business model. That's always been my goal. That's what gets me excited. I don't want to have us or our investors be in trouble in the next cycle. I like to think that our investments will perform better than most in the next cycle, and, you know, be positioned well coming out of it.
That's great. I could keep talking here and, you know, definitely have a ton of questions for you, but, you know, trying to keep this within our time frame here. And so, we're moving into our wrap it up session. And in this, I ask a series of quick questions so that you can give me your best answers. And these are resources that will be helpful for our listeners. So are you ready for the wrap it up?
Yeah, let's do it, Bill.
Okay, you got it. Well, first, let's start with the favorite real estate book.
Favorite real estate book, and probably my favorite business book, is Thinking Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Great. How about your favorite business book?
I would say it's one in the same. I am a very, let's say before I started this business, I read a lot, and I've been very action focused lately. Plus I have a young family. I don't have as much time to read as I used to. But that's a book that I've read multiple times. It keeps me very focused and driven on on real estate and personal life and in business as well. Have you read that one yet, Bill?
Long time ago. Yeah. No, it's a powerful book, and it's one that a lot of folks have commented on. What would you say is your most valuable website for success?
Yeah, the two websites that we use the most for business, number one, which everyone has access to, is Google Maps. We look at a lot of different properties. Everyone asks, you know, how often do you do a deal? And I always have to answer, hey, we have to look at 100 deals to get one deal that makes sense. So we're analyzing a lot of opportunities all the time. And the first place I go to look at one of our apartment communities that we're buying is Google Maps. You know, I want to understand where is it, if it's a deal in Irvine, California, you know, where in Irvine is it exactly? Is it next to a school? Is it next to a petroleum plant? Is it on the main drag? Is it at the end of a dead end street? You know, you can cross off a lot of deals from your list simply looking at Google Maps. The other one we use is kind of a cheat sheet that I think is a great tool for everyone to use. Is a website called Trulia. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of people will use it for home values, but it's also a great quick source to get a feel for things such as crime, school district rankings. Sometimes it'll provide information on the rents in the area as well. That's one that we definitely, those are two of the websites we use right off the bat to help us determine what properties we want to dig in deeper on or not.
That's great. What about favorite app? Anything on your phone or iPad or something that's sort of an invaluable resource for you?
Yeah, the one, my two-year-old loves my Elmo app, Bill.
And that's really your secret favorite, too. You can tell us mine.
Yeah. That's definitely the most used app on my phone. But other than that, the app that I find using the most is Dropbox.
Yes. Simply
because, you know, we have a very detail-oriented business model. We take a lot of pride in our due diligence and being organized for ourselves and our investors. So I'm on my phone a lot. Whether I'm in the office or out of the office, I need access to all of our documents and all of our due diligence and on all of our portfolio of apartments. And I may have an investor call me and I need to pull up, you know, his portfolio and understand his return. So Dropbox for me is a great tool, you know, to organize ourselves and our business. But it's a great tool on my phone. I'm amazed how quickly I can pull up, Bill, your file and understand, you know, how much you've invested in each deal, what deal you're in, and the performance. And I think from a business standpoint, especially nowadays, people need answers fast and they deserve it fast. So we need to be armed with that information wherever we are nowadays.
That's great. Well, this one's one you have to really think about, or hopefully had a chance already, maybe even ponder it. But let's say, for example, you lost everything. Okay, just something cataclysmic happened, and you just, all you've got left is $1,000 in the bank. What would you do with that $1,000 to relaunch your real estate investing business?
You know, for me, that's the easiest one here. I would be doing exactly what I'm doing now, simply because, hey, I was there. Coming out of the recession and trying to rebuild my business, I was at a point where I almost had $1,000 in my bank account. That's, you know, in a lot of ways, that's where we started this business from. You know, we started it from zero. So, if I can do it, so can everybody else. You can launch with, a very little amount of money. I think the key is finding something that you enjoy doing, finding something that you're passionate about, and doing your homework. You want to make sure it's something that makes sense, short term, long term. Educate yourself, and then from there, begin to be more action oriented. I think with that philosophy, you can make a lot of money and start a brand new business in real estate just with that alone.
So give me a specific, what would be the first thing you'd do to actually put more money in your pocket, which you're going to need if you're going to, you know, move forward?
I would pick an aspect of, and Bill, I don't know exactly if you're teaching, you know, retail, industrial, hotel investments, apartments, single family home. I think regardless of what it is, you want to become an expert at it. You want to read the books that are recommended. You want to read the periodicals that can educate you on what aspect of the real estate business is doing well right now. I think that's the best place to start. If you had $1,000, go buy some books that tie into what you want to do and educate yourself to become an industry expert. I think in any, you know, real estate class, like class meaning there's all different ways to make, you know, money in real estate, but there's always a number of seminars or you know, experts, mentors in the business that focus on that specific part of the real estate industry or that specific niche. You know, search out those people that have a good reputation, that have a good name, get some referrals and seek them out to help educate yourself as well.
So let's get the education and then act upon what you've learned, right?
Exactly. Well said, Bill.
Great. Well, we're at the end of our event here, and this has been really fantastic, Mike. I'm definitely going to have you back on because there's a lot of avenues I wanted to pursue, but I thought we'd be here for a couple hours, and I don't know. I'd listen, but I don't know about those on the run if they would be able to. But how can people get a hold of you if you know, you've maybe said something that they're interested in, and or maybe finding out more about your projects? Maybe they want to be more on the passive side of things and not really, you know, purchase property, but maybe invest, or maybe just find out about more about what you do. How can people reach you?
Yeah, the best place to reach me is my email, which is Mike, M-I-K-E, at L5Invest, which is the letter L, the number 5, the word invest, INVEST.com. That's my personal email. And then if anyone wants more information on the company, on what we do and why we do it, you know, feel free to email me direct, or you can go to our website as well, which is L5Invest.com. So www, L as in Larry, the number 5, invest.com.
Great. Well, Mike, we're at that critical part of our interview where you just have to kind of really show us, you know, what you're all about here by closing us out with your best old hound dog howl. Now, you've been all around the country, so you obviously have heard the hound dog somewhere, right? So, you know, if you could just close us out with your best hound dog howl, that'll just make this whole interview.
Sounds good, Bill. I'll give it a shot. Are you going to do it with me?
No. I don't want to taint it at all. You know, I've had a lot of practice, and you know, I don't want to throw it off. So yeah, I'm just going to let this be just totally Mike here.
All right, sounds good, Bill. Here we go. Ow! Sounds like the coyotes in my backyard.
There you go. All right. Thanks so much, Mike. I really, really appreciate you for joining us, for taking your time to just share a little bit of about yourself, about what you do, your expertise, and, you know, even some information I think people can take home with them there. And, you know, hopefully I'll take you up on that, having you back here, and maybe we'll zero in on some key areas, whether it be syndication or, you know, different types of assets. And, you know, there's a lot of avenues, I'm sure, of expertise that you could provide. I also want to thank all those that are our old dog listeners here out there for joining us today too. We know there's a lot of other things you could be doing and a lot of other places you could be spending your time, but we thank you that you took the time to listen to us today and to join us as one of the old dogs here, and we greatly appreciate it. Well, that's our show for today. Mike, again, thanks for taking the time to be with us. And for those of you out there, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.